Good morning, planet Earth. Good morning to the meth farmers, farming meth, farm to table. Some of the farmers are cops. Oh, I'm sorry, there are bad cops. Good morning to submarine commanders, extraditing people overseas. It's called rendition. It's your audition for hell. Good morning to you, CIA torturer, applying sulfuric acid to another pair of nuts. Good morning. Good morning. Good morning. Peanut is dead. Peanut's dead. They took Harambe from us 8 years ago. They took him in the darkness of night. They put a bag over his head and they just dragged off that poor Harambe. But they didn't stop there, did they, my gentle friends? No, there was a little squirrel named Peanut, and Peanut never hurt no motherfucker. Peanut was smiley and happy and brought joy and love to people's lives, but now Peanut's fucking dead. Used to be a little furry creature with love and goodness and kindness in its little squirrel heart. But now Peanut's dead. Peanut's gone from this world. What are we gonna do, people? Are we gonna be sheeple? No way, buddy. Rise up. Rise up. Rise up. Rise up. Rise up and burn down something for Peanut. Even if it's just a big old fucking cardboard box in the fucking abandoned lot across the street. In honor of Peanut, set that fucking cardboard box on fire, baby. But don't... be careful, bring a fire extinguisher and put it out afterwards, because otherwise they're gonna blame the burning on Peanut, and we can't have that, no way. Yeah, Peanut's dead. Peanut, you were taken too soon. Peanut, they were angry old goons. Peanut, will you lead us away? We've gone astray. Is it okay, Peanut? Is it gonna be okay? And Peanut's up there in heaven, looking down on us, scaring down at us, looking for justice, looking for vengeance. Peanut, Harambe, they're out there. Yeah, indeed, it is Sunday, and some of you are heading to church, so you shouldn't be listening to this, but it is Sunday, November the 3rd, 2024. We're a couple of days away from the most important election in over 7.6 trillion cycles of the cosmic construct. Measured in hippos, you could fill over 8 trillion flamingos worth of Olympic pools with that many fucking hippos of time. And if you crush the hippos up and you freeze dry them, or really reverse that, freeze dry the hippo, crush it into a powder, store it in a jar, maybe in your car, and then if you get hungry, you can just add some water and you can eat a hippo like a fucking king. You can. Peanut's dead. Yeah, it's 8:12 a.m. November the 3rd. Oh, Peanut. I don't know what to say. I don't know what to say. It just takes a lot from us, you know? This is an article from the New York Post, and it is written by Shane Galvin and published on November the 1st, 2024, Boblimp Doc. And I read on, Peanut, the squirrel, beloved pet and internet sensation, euthanized after being seized by New York State. Peanut the squirrel of internet fame has been euthanized after the pet was seized by the New York State earlier this week, according to the Department of Environmental Conservation. The 7-year-old gray rescue squirrel, commonly referred to as Peanut on Instagram, Facebook, and TikTok, was put to death, along with Fred the raccoon, so that the animals could be tested for the presence of rabies. According to a statement from the agency obtained by WETM, Peanut's guardian, Mark Longo, took to Instagram to memorialize his beloved pet in a video. Through tears, Longo, with his girlfriend at his side, said, "Peanut was the best thing that ever happened to us. Rip, my best friend. Thank you for the best 7 years of my life. Thank you for bringing so much joy to us in the world. I'm sorry I failed you, but thank you for everything," Longo wrote in a caption to the post announcing Peanut's death. Longo also asked fans for financial help for a legal battle and for his nonprofit, Peanut's Freedom Farm. The DEA, CIA, we all know who killed fucking Harambe. The CIA claims that Peanut, who was notably docile and friendly over the course of his very public-facing life, bit one of the investigators on the hand while being confiscated from his Elmira home on Wednesday. I would have bitten you too, motherfucker, but first I would have been chewing on jerky and drinking whiskey, bitch. Fuck, son of a bitch. In addition, a person involved with the investigation was bitten by the squirrel. To test for rabies, both animals were euthanized. The animals are being tested for rabies, and I'm sure the test will be accurate because why wouldn't it be? And anybody who says it won't be is a motherfucker. That's what the CIA told us. Peanut was rescued by guardian Mark Longo after the Connecticut native witnessed Peanut's mother hit by a car. The resilient, adorable Peanut inspired Longo to move to upstate New York last year and found Peanut's Freedom Farm, an animal sanctuary and rescue. On Wednesday, Peanut and Fred the raccoon were seized by the Department of Bullshit after multiple anonymous complaints by Karen about the animals living there. "Well, Internet, you won," Longo wrote in a caption before grabbing a machine gun and a machete. "You took one of the most amazing animals away, and there's going to be payback." To the group of people who called the CIA, "There's a special place in hell for you," Longo added. In a statement to the Post on Wednesday, the CIA said they were responding to complaints of rabies vector species that was in a home, namely Fred the raccoon. I told you. I predicted this bullshit 10 years ago. Fucking Peanut. And I just don't know. You can have whatever opinions about this you want to. Is it a trauma monkey? It's a trauma squirrel, buddy. I don't know. You tell me, buddy. You tell me, pal. Next topic. Because we spent too much time on Peanut. This is an article from Newsweek. Headline: "Woman using suicide pod reportedly found with strangulation marks inside." This was published on October 30th, and its author is Emma Marsden. An American woman who opted to end her life in Switzerland through the controversial Sarko suicide pod was reportedly found dead with strangulation marks on her neck. The woman was the first user of the Sarko suicide chamber. She died on September 23rd in the middle of the forest near a cabin in Mirischhausen, a sparsely populated part of Switzerland in the Schaffhausen region near the German border, as reported by BBC. Reports of physical marks on the woman have not been verified. Newsweek contacted Sarko and the Swiss Federal Office of Police for comment on Wednesday. Sarco's website states that a capsule that could produce a rapid decrease in oxygen level while maintaining low CO2 level, the conditions for a peaceful, even euphoric death, led to its development. As reported by the AP News, Exit International, an assisted suicide group based in the Netherlands, said it is behind this 3D printable device that cost over $1 million to develop. The Sarco pod, developed by Dr. Philip Nitschke, founder of Exit International, was designed as a painless and autonomous means for terminally ill individuals to end their lives peacefully. It is intended to work by releasing nitrogen, inducing hypoxia, and allowing the user to lose consciousness and pass away without physical suffering. Switzerland has allowed assisted suicide as long as the motives are not selfish, since 1942. A Swiss information report noted that Swiss assisted suicides rose 11% in 2023, and British charity Dignity in Dying reports that one person from the UK travels to Switzerland for an assisted death every 8 days. President of Sarco's operator, assisted suicide organization, The Last Resort. Huh. Oh boy, I wonder what Dr. Steve Brule thinks about that. Dr. Florian Willett, Last Resort, was arrested after the woman's death and remains in custody, along with several others. Whilst police investigate what transpired. Willett was the only person present when the woman died, as reported by UK news outlet LBC. The woman is said to have pressed the button to fill the pod with nitrogen at 3:54 p.m., reported the UK newspaper The Times. Nitschke followed the process by video call, but was unable to observe the full procedure due to technical difficulties, according to LBC. As reported by The Times, Neue Zürcher Zeitung, a Swiss newspaper, and Dutch newspaper, The Piece of Shit, said that an autopsy had discovered strangulation marks on the woman's neck, prompting Peter Stischer, the public prosecutor in Schwaffhausen, to extend the scope of the investigation to include the possibility of murder. According to a report by De Volkskrant, documents show that this is based on a phone note from September the 23rd, a few hours after the woman's death. During that conversation, the prosecution heard from the forensic doctor that the woman had, among other things, severe injuries to her neck, the Dutch newspaper reported. However, Stiche has refused to confirm the reports, according to The Times. Swiss newspaper Neue Zürcher Zeitung also said a person close to The Last Resort said the woman's skull-based osteomyelitis may have caused the marks on her neck. Skull-based osteomyelitis is a rare and complex infection in the structures surrounding the skull base. Last Resort and Exit International have dismissed the claims of the woman's reported neck injuries. In a joint statement on Tuesday, they said, without the full autopsy report, Last Resort cannot comment on the suspicion of the injuries on the neck and blah, 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 fuck you. Oh my God, I gotta stop reading this shit because it's just, I don't even know what to say. It's a long article. You can look through it. You can learn more about the woman a little bit more. We've talked about assisted suicide. We've talked on our podcast here periodically about the law in Canada, the MAID law, the medically assisted suicide law. And how there are rumors, and again, I think some of this is still a little bit apocryphal and might even be a bit of a trauma monkey, but who knows? There are rumors that Canadian doctors are suggesting to Canadians who are homeless, who don't have a job, who are feeling really depressed, that medically assisted suicide is a great way out. And the sad truth is, the same impulse that would drive an unemployed man or woman, whether they have kids or not, whether there are people that love them or not, the same series of steps that would lead people in the worst fucking moments of their lives to abuse drugs is the same impulse that would lead a person to that doctor's office and eventually lead them to one of these fucking pods. That's it. That's the truth. If you make this available to people right now, oh God. If you made this available and you made it private and you made it painless and you could just go to your fucking doctor's office and take a pill and check out and understand this, I am not advocating for it. But if you made it available, you would be shocked by how many people have given up and are ready to fucking just go. Or maybe you wouldn't be shocked. We can talk as much as we want to about 2020 and the monkey herpes and the COVID and the Black Lives Matter, and you can tell me all kinds of weird stories about vaccines and Soros and somehow ignore the fact that Donald Trump was president. I don't give a fuck. Whatever the real truth is that we'll probably never know for sure, what happened in 2020 drove a lot of people to kill themselves. And if something like this that was quote-unquote painless and maybe you could like get drunk and take drugs first or a whole bunch of other shit, if something like this had been available, a lot of people would have been lined up around the block. And not because they were afraid of the monkey herpes or the black ooze or the warp speed vaccine or Dr. Fauci torturing puppies, but because their lives have been turned upside down, they were forced into house arrest, and they've come to the realization that the Bill of Rights is lipstick on a fucking pig. And yeah, their business vaporized. Maybe their marriage destroyed. Family relationships completely fucking trampled. Not everybody would have used the magical pod, but you would have been fucking shocked. And you'd be shocked today how many people would line up around the block for that fucking thing. As an anarchist, do I want a law that prevents people from building these things? No. But as a person of faith, when I have a good day, and a person that understands the difference between right and wrong, I'm pretty certain there's a special hell for people that facilitates suicide. Does this mean there are not times when people need to check out? When my sister Nancy was in stage 4 and she was barely conscious at the hospital, any time that she would have checked out would have probably been okay with Jesus and okay with everybody. There are times when there's just nothing you can do but ease suffering. That's the truth. And if, you know, depression actually eased suffering, I would say okay, but it doesn't. Excuse me, if suicide actually eased depression. If suicide eased depression, if it actually eased the suffering, if killing yourself eased the suffering, I'm sure I would be telling you to do it, but it doesn't. It doesn't. It creates wreckage. It creates wreckage because there'll be people left behind who will ask, what could I have done differently? And some of those people will get over it, and some of them never will. There'll be people in your life who'll say, well, if that person couldn't hang on, then I'm not going to hang on. It causes wreckage. That's the truth about suicide. It really isn't, unless, okay, one exception or a couple exceptions. We've already mentioned one. You know, if someone's in terrible pain and is going to die anyways, I kind of think that's, you know, your option, your choice. You're going to die anyways, right? Okay. The other exception is if you just live alone, you have no social connections, you are essentially already dead to the world. If you live alone and nobody knows you exist and you have no friends or family, then yeah, I don't really know that suicide is going to hurt anybody else but your fucking self. But with those two exceptions, I can't think of any others. I mean, you could say, well, Dan, what if it's a heroic act to save another life? Well, that's not really suicide, in my opinion. That's closer to being murder. If you're given no choice, if it's one of those trolley problem situations that involves another person, it's murder. If it's just nature, it's not suicide. It's a choice. I know someone you care about is drowning, and there's only one chunk of wood that will keep you afloat, so you give it up for the person you love. That's not suicide. That's not, that is a choice that puts your life in jeopardy, and yeah, probably likely you're going to die, but that's not suicide. So there are cases where people sacrifice their lives, but it's kind of a dishonor to call it suicide. It's not. Is it possible to be in so much pain in your soul that you just want to check out? Yeah. But my advice is check out of the bullshit first and see if that works. That's what I did. Check out of the bullshit first. If someone tells you, well, Dan, you got to have a 401k and you better have a home in a special neighborhood that accrues with value at 20% like a cancer tumor. And if you're not progressing in your job, making an extra figure every six figures, if you don't have a fancy car, let go of all that bullshit. Before you do anything that you can't take back, before you cause harm that you can't undo, and before you give up on this life, which, yeah, is really fucked up right now, and yeah, some days can be really shitty, but before you give up on this life, why don't you do things that are a lot less tragic? And if that means you have to grab a whiskey bottle, I'm going to tell you this straight up. If the choice today is between grabbing a whiskey bottle or killing yourself, I think maybe you need to cut yourself some slack. If it's doing something even that dumb, it's still better. It still buys you time. There are probably people in your life that care about you, and this is not something that's going to help them. This is a really terrible topic to discuss, guys, and I don't like talking about it because last winter was the first time in maybe a couple decades where I was seriously in a space where, you know, yeah, Mr. Sarko, you got that convenient rocket ship to the afterlife. But the simple truth was that when I thought about it, I realized that as pathetic as I was, and as lonely as I was, and as isolated and as much of a hermit as I was, there were still people, like immediate people in my immediate life that cared. And I could hurt myself. I just wasn't really happy about the idea that I might hurt them. And as weird as it sounds, some of them are you people. Some of you I've met, you know, there's five of you. The rest are feds. I don't give a fuck. But for the five real people who give a fuck, you know, maybe you would have given, maybe that would have pissed you off. Maybe we would have said to yourself, well, you're a giant shithead, Dan. You know? Next topic. Because between this and Peanut, I can't take it. I can't take it. Okay. So, I have been told something that is, you know, really, really critical. I gotta do this in the right order. I'm sorry. This is horrible. So on social media, a lot of people, a lot of woke people, a lot of Harry Ball supporters have been talking about how if Papa Blump is made president, he's going to turn the clock back 400 years. And it comes up because this is that whole daylight savings bullshit, which is its own kind of mind fuck and mind slavery. And so there's a lot of irony when motherfuckers who tell me I have to have a fucking vaccine or wear a mask that's filled with asbestos and fiberglass. There's irony, great irony, when these fuckers tell me about Trump turning back the clock for slavery, you know. But if you want to ride that ironic train, yeah, daylight savings time, motherfucker. You don't have a choice, slave. If you want to ride that fucking slave train, they'll tell you that Papa Blump is going to bring back slavery. This article is actually an opinion, an op-ed by Paul Haktua Krugman, but it's given me one of these paywalls, and it's just terrible. It's terrible. I'm getting a paywall from it. I'm not even going to read it. Anyways, it's a link to a Times article that I have no interest in giving money to it or Paul Krugman, but it's one of these cases of where, how can I phrase it? You know, the quote-unquote serious intellectuals are saying Trump's going to bring back slavery. I don't mean to shock you motherfuckers, but in addition to the Nazis winning World War II, slavery never left. Yes, it took on a different form, a form that only Alexander Hamilton could fucking dream of and Paul Krugman loves. It's called debt slavery. But yeah, slavery never left, motherfucker. You know, it's one of the reasons why people get depressed. Anywho, since I've been told, according to these Crumptic folk, these Vlimblii, they tell me that, you know, yeah, you know, slavery's coming back. slavery is coming back. They tell me that if Blump wins the election, slavery's coming back. And so this is a trigger alert. Fuck you, trigger alert. Trigger alert. I've been told that if Trump wins, he will turn back the clock 400 years. He will dredge up from our dark past those miserable practices of foul and cruel men. So I'm trying to be optimistic. I'm trying to be positive about it and imagine a place for myself in slave America. I shall have a plantation in Georgia near the sea. There's gonna be a nice shack in the back, a hole in the ground at the center where you, the African-American slave, can poop and pee. There ain't no shower, but the kind rains of the South that will wash your dusky physique as you toil in the soil, as you gather the cotton for the mill, as you grab the Frenchie for the kill. You won't be happy here at first, but the hard work in the field as my onyx Sisyphus will ensure a good night's sleep. But you won't get a lot of sleep, though, friend. The black man can work for days without sleep. He is strong and tall and full of jizz energy. But you have to keep him away from your white women because his musk traps their gaze and they are amazed by the size of his horse-like cock. White busty women will sneak out back to the slave paddock and allow that black buck to tear at them and rip open their boobulas. There are movies about this you can watch. I believe one is called Mandingo. Some of them are based on facts. Look at the picture below. In a podcast, this is difficult, but you can go to the notes. Look at the picture below. This is you with your son or brother. Does it really matter when it comes to black people? And anywho, this is you and your uncle brother harvesting French bulldogs for me that I can then take to the Chinaman's store off of 4th Street. The chinks cherish that fine brown meat filled with splendor. And side note, they'll take a dying slave off your hands too. Just don't eat the pork fried rice for a few weeks. You will work hard each day, but once every 5 years on Juneteenth, I might give you a day off on the rope anchor. The large anchor that I attach you to, and it ain't no rope really, it's really chains, 200 feet of chain. I attach it to you, and I attach it to a 10,000-pound ship anchor that I bought on eBay. The anchor is from a ship lost in the Middle Passage. Monstrous, horrible, terrible. Oh, what Trump is going to bring to this country if he wins. The French bulldog trade is bigger than the slave trade, and many Frenchies are lost during shipment across the Atlantic to England and France and Italy. Sometimes a whole shipment of Frenchies gets sick, and they are just tossed into the sea like garbage. But Trump promises tariffs, so that should help. You will be obedient or face the whip. Beatings will be furiously awful and frequent. You might feel like all I ever do is beat you, but come on, that's just you having a bad day. In time, you will call me Master Dan. And I'll call you Rufus, Rufus number 4. All my male slaves will be named Rufus. All my female slaves will be called Susanna. So I can say things like, "Stop that, Susanna," or "Get over here, Rufus." You might see this as degrading. I consider it the necessary prerequisite to all further dehumanization. Almost like giving a person a social security number. All of my Susanna-type slaves will be required to patrol my plantation, riding hippos and wearing only bikinis. They will spend half the day wrestling in steam pits and masturbating in the cornfield. They will be experts in karate and southern cooking and barbecue and seamanship. Here is one of my Susannas. If you go online to the notes, you can see a picture. She's riding her hippo to Walmart to get me my beer and cigarettes. Mind you, don't give her your credit card. The large jar of change is good enough for her and her lusty ways. Right. We will have a large sailing ship, and each year me and all my slaves will go on a junket across the Atlantic again, right through the middle of the Atlantic. I think it's called the Middle Passage. The name of the ship will be called the Callus, and some had thoughts on that as well, but you know, I made them into my slaves. On our annual sailing trip, the slaves will live below deck in inhuman rows and conditions, attached to the ship by chains and wire and steel. This will be disappointing for many, but nothing can be done because Trump won. When we get back from our first trip, things get messy. Having plantations and slaves and sailing ships named Callus that you load your slaves onto once a year in order to rub their nose in atrocities, oh, that gets dangerously sexy. Upon our third trip abroad, Susanna, number 13, I think, organized all the female field hands into rioting gangs of sweaty and scantily clad jungle-style warrior bitches. They got some guns and swords and knives and freed the Rufuses. The Rufuses went to the bar to drink and smoke cigarettes. But Susanna, being keen and alert and determined, she chased me through the night, all the Susannas. And oh, Susanna, from pasture to swamp to hillside, every time I looked back, I could see her torches. All the Susannas chasing me, I could see their rage. When they finally caught up to me, they took turns tearing off my clothes, getting my cock really hard and swallowing it with their boovulas. It was so terrible. What a way to die. And that's it, baby. That's coming if Trump gets elected on Tuesday. Now, you could say, well, Dan, you've thought long and hard on this, and I have. I have, because I was told, I asked Grok, I said, Grok. And Grok is the AI, the super genius AI that's designing rocket ships for Elon Musk. So that's what Grok is. I asked Grok, holy fuck, if Trump wins, what's going to happen? And he says, Dan, and he did this through pictures. He said, Dan, I don't know how to put it, but you know, you might become a slave master. And I'm sanguine in a sense about it, a little bit perturbed and sad, but mostly accepting and at peace. If I become a slave master, I will have some cute but ironic master's name, something like Master Danny or Dr. Freckles. I will spend weeks trying to come up with that special name, the name that would make me the master. If I become a slave master, I will build a prison on stilts in the Everglades, Lake Okeechobee. I will house my women in pens, hundreds of busty and young, attractive women wearing only bikinis. I will pay some of the women to beat and punish the others so that everyone could feel good about social contracts. The women will do battle and shower together. The entire complex will be under 24-hour webcam surveillance. And you can stream it, you know, for a fee from my OnlyFans channel if I become a slave master. You'll blow your load after 10 seconds of streaming my Bad Girls of Florida series. And don't get me started on the spin chair suspended over the bull shark pool. Many will accuse me of crimes, but the world is changing, pal, and it's time to get in on this fast lane action. And what the fuck did they ever do to Henry Kissinger? He just died. He never went to jail. So why will I? Oh, Dan, there's something about... I know, he's special. He was special. When my slave women are bad, I punish them. I treat them as dingy and nasty pond swallows. I banish them to the alligator pens where many a young waifish soul loses her life nightly. Because I'm a beast of a slave master. They don't talk back so much either. They make me sandwiches. They don't talk back. They make me sandwiches. They put the lotion on their hands. Or else they get the hose again. Terrible. Terrible, monstrous. Terrible. As a slave master, I will attain total power when I harness the energies of my slaves to build time machines. We will make and test these machines. I will use my slaves as test subjects. Many of these dusty and dusky and swarthy men will be wasted in these insanely bizarre experiments. One hopes, right? One does. Over time, I will carve up my slaves and replace my organs with theirs. I will drink and frolic and abuse my body, knowing all too well there are refrigerators full of new hearts and livers and lungs and kidneys, you name it, all ready for me. Eventually, my insides will be replaced by machines and robot bullshit and nanites. I will become transhuman. I will live hundreds of years, beating and whipping, whipping and shipping my slaves across the Atlantic on a giant cargo ship. You know, I'll replace the callus with one named the Middle Passage. I will be feared by all the muskrat herders of Grinkentown. The Dunkin' Donuts League can go fuck itself, really. If you say, fuck Dan, don't you think it's wrong to have slaves? I will make you my slave at this very moment that you're listening. You are now my fucking slave because you thought that. I own your mind, your doom, your fear pudding. The scope of your existence is now limited by the prison I've created around your will. Soon you will gather up 10 or 20 busty women between the ages of 28 and 45. You'll take them to my swamp pound. That's a swamp compound in Florida. You think it's wrong? What are you, a child, a little baby child? My slave women will go to Walmart and buy me watermelons and fried chicken and cornstarch and fucking okra. What the fuck is okra? My slave women will be admired by other human farmers in Florida, so I'll need to be careful. It's just so easy for some sly motherfucker to go to Walmart and stalk them young raven-haired seductrons. Your black female slave is your power trophy. Don't disrespect her. After years of super sexual training, my slave women will learn to summon the coyote spirit and dance naked with the wolves of tomorrow. If I become a slave master, I will hunt them for sport. I will put them into some kind of fucked up maze filled with sharks and scorpions and pitfalls. And the slave will move through the dungeon zone, dodging and swinging on ropes. So many bodies will be dumped because I will be hunting them with a drone that is armed with a .22 long rifle submachine gun attached to it and like 3,000 rounds of ammo, and I'm a total dick. And life isn't fucking fair if I become a slave master, okay? So if I were a slave master, and my slaves would find bliss in the emptiness of commitment and trench foot dreams, if I were a slave master, I would be the master of the insane. If I were such, you'd feel my touch. And then you'd head to Georgia, baby. You'd head to the sea. If I were a slave master, and you are my slave, baby. It is Sunday, 8:48 a.m. I hope I just offended everybody. And yeah, you know, they tell me that Trump is going to bring back slaves. And other people tell me I need to be more positive and I need to get more involved in my community. Well, motherfucker, wait till you find out what I got planned. And if I set up my swamp pound in Florida, my swamply compound, or I set one up here on the Olympic Peninsula, maybe near Crescent Lake, if you fall into my trap, you might be amazed by what happens next. I will monetize my investments. I will, you know, yeah, you'll see. But it is Sunday, November the 3rd, 2024, a couple days to the most important election ever. It's almost 9 a.m. If you want to donate to this fucking podcast, you can. There's a PayPal link. You click on it. You feel the rush of the evil child's blood that Peter Thiel drinks, and then you pay me. It's the only option I have. I don't want any more angry emails, but you don't have to. And before you click on that fucking link, listen to the fucking disclaimer. Take care of your food, water, shelter first. If you don't have money to pay rent, you don't have money to help anybody out or to pay for services or to donate to a podcast, take care of your food, water, shelter first and the things you need to. If you have people in your life that need help, help them first. Before you donate to my podcast or anybody else, take care of those people around you right now that need help. I mean real people. I don't mean, you know, internet bullshit. Like, you know, maybe I'm internet bullshit. I mean real people. If you're setting aside money because you think maybe in the not too distant future, there's not going to be food at the grocery store, even though the stock market keeps going up. If you're setting aside food right now, 6 months worth, because you're an optimist like me, you know, I'm thinking of building a slave compound, you're setting aside 6 months of food. If you're setting aside food and you have a pet, a dog, a cat, a bat, I don't care, a rat, I don't care, parrot, could be a fish, but if you're setting aside food for yourself and your family and you have a pet, think about your pet, you know, unless you intend to eat it. And last but not least, it's not the end of the world, so before you donate to anybody's podcast, donate to yourself. Take a break. Life is fucking crazy. Life is strange right now. There's an election. Everyone's telling you that the worst things ever will happen if one side wins or the other. All I can tell you is what's going to happen is going to happen, and it doesn't have anything to do with Tuesday. But it's also probably not something we can control. It's still not the end of the world, though, and it's probably not going to be the end of the world. And right now, things are still kind of normal. You can kind of do things that you kind of used to like to do. So while it's still kind of normal, donate to yourself before you donate to me. But if you've done all those things and you understand the wisdom of being a proper, you know, slave master, and you're going to have your own fucking slave compound, maybe you're an African American and you're going to have white slaves. I kind of like that. Make sure they're Danish. Make sure they're Danish. The Danish are excellent slaves. They really are. I mean, they're like the Kobe beef of slaves. So if you're going to have slaves, Mr. and Mrs., you know, whatever, make sure they're Danish, baby. Yeah, if you want to donate, you can. I hope you guys have a great rest of your Sunday. If you don't hear from me between now and Tuesday, don't know what to tell you. Cannot tell you who to vote for because I don't think it fucking matters. I can only recommend that you don't take any of this personally. Goodbye.